This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Clean up in the global banking aisle.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Heads of state will come together next month for the G20 summit. This weekend, finance leaders from the G20 countries came together outside of London to get a head start. The group set a top priority to clean up bank balance sheets in order to help renew lending. The meeting did not include bickering over economic stimulus versus regulation. A lot of that was heard in the run-up to this gathering. That would have been drowned out anyway this weekend by the letters AIG. The insurance giant said it's spending $165 million on bonuses and that it paid out $90 billion to banks and other institutions. AIG, of course, has been one of the biggest beneficiaries of bailout money. It's received more than $170 billion. Marketplace's Janet Babin is standing by. Janet, let's pause on the bonuses for a second. Why were banks like Goldman Sachs, Barclays, and a number of U.S. states getting payouts?
Well, these are companies and states that AIG owes money to as part of its obligations. So this is the whole reason that the federal government bailed out AIG in the first place, because AIG couldn't meet its obligations on contracts that it had written with investment banks, with regular banks, with states and municipalities. So that is where this money is going. AIG owed this money out as part of contracts it had written previously.
Okay, assuming that set of obligations is done, what about the future of bonus payments?
Well, AIG has said that it plans to realign any future bonuses and will cut remaining salaries. But as far as paying out the bonuses that it has obligations on, the company believes it has to pay out that money or it could face lawsuits. And those lawsuits might cost it more than if it would just pay out the bonuses outright.
All right. Marketplace's Janet Babin. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Those legal obligations aren't sitting well with Barney Frank. The chairman of the House Financial Services Committee just gave his take on the AIG bonus payments on the Today Show.
Since the federal government now essentially owns that company, maybe it's time to fire some people. We can't keep them getting their bonuses, but we can keep some of them continuing in their jobs. And I am very skeptical that these these people got retention bonuses. Well, if they were in high school, they wouldn't have gotten retention. They would have gotten detention.
Last night, Fed Chair Ben Bernanke happened to mention he was angry about the AIG bailouts on 60 Minutes. He also said the recession will probably come to an end this year. The Dow was up 9% last week. It closed at 72.24 Friday. That's the best showing we've seen since November. In Asia today, major markets were up and European shares are edging higher right now. A heads up if you're having sausage or bacon this morning. This next story has a grisly start. HBO debuts a new film tonight that isn't sitting well with the pork industry. Stacey Vanek-Smith looks at how it could affect the other white meat.
Clearly, Your Honor, it is torturing an animal.
Was that animal suffering?
No, sir. I don't think it was.
That's typical.
Death on a Factory Farm chronicles some grisly practices at an Ohio pork producer. Bradley Miller is the director of the Humane Farming Association, which gathered some of the key footage. He hopes the film will have a commercial impact. He says after his association's campaign against veal in the 80s, sales plummeted.
So we're hopeful that we can have a similar effect within the pork industry, that this will prompt them to clean up their act in response to consumer pressure.
The practices of the Ohio hog farm are not typical, says Paul Sundberg with the National Pork Board. And he says if consumers start to vote with their wallets, the industry will listen.
There certainly is that incentive when the marketplace says, this is what we want to do. When producers hear that, they can respond.
Pork sales are holding up in the lean economy. Other more expensive meats have seen sales decline. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivin Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivin.com/new offers.
On this date last year, J.P. Morgan Chase bought Bear Stearns for a bargain. Today, the former top five investment banks are nothing like they were. And as Marketplace's Amy Scott reports, smaller firms are seizing the opportunity.
You've probably never heard of Pally Capital. Neither had Averill Rye until last summer. But when his job at Bear Stearns disappeared, the boutique investment bank suddenly looked appealing. Pally is one of many small firms moving into the space vacated by big investment banks and loading up on their talent.
It's a huge growth opportunity for smaller firms. And in fact, if you look at the past year, I think our firm has probably grown by 30% or so.
Rye is now head of investment banking at Pally. He says resumes are pouring in from people at high-profile banks like Morgan Stanley.
Which I think a year and a half or 2 years ago would not have been possible, because those guys, A, would not have been willing to leave, and two, not go to a smaller platform that they probably hadn't heard of.
After all the upheaval on Wall Street, Jefferies & Company says it's now the largest independent U.S. investment bank. Dan Marchetti joined recently from Merrill Lynch to build the company's bond business. Jefferies hasn't escaped unscathed. It's had to lay people off, too. But Marchetti says the firm is growing in areas like government bonds and the old-fashioned advice business.
The growth right now will come from just going back to the basics of what the industry really was bringing buyers and sellers together, providing advice to clients, and kind of the basic stuff that, you know, got lost somewhere in the last 2 or 3 years.
So will the Jefferies and Pally Capitals of the world grow up to be the next Wall Street behemoths? Michael Henry is a consultant to the financial services industry with Accenture. He doesn't think so.
As these companies grow, they're going to hit some of the same limitations as the larger banks have. They're not going to be able to get as much leverage on capital.
It was that leverage, essentially borrowed money, that got big banks into so much trouble. The folks at Jefferies say they hope to grow without making the same mistakes. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Give us your take at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a nice Monday.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.